From Utah Public Radio, this is Undisciplined. I'm Matthew LaPlante. In 2023, the journalist Jeff Gaudel wrote a book called The Heat Will Kill You First. It was focused on what he and many others believed was the most acute danger when it comes to global warming. And that danger is sensical, even if we tend to underestimate it. It's heat. More heat means more heat stress and more heat stroke. It leads to kidney failure and heart attacks and strokes. It makes mental health emergencies worse and threatens cognitive wellness. But heat is not the only pressure on a warming planet that is affecting and will continue to affect people's health. As it turns out, the intersections between climate change and public health are almost endless. And Heidi Honegger-Rogers is trying to help us prepare. She's a family nurse practitioner, an advanced practice holistic nurse, and an assistant professor in the College of Nursing at the University of New Mexico, where she leads a climate change and public health preparedness course. And her call to her nursing students is simple. Medical practitioners have to understand climate change, and they have to understand its risks to human health, because much of what they'll be dealing with in the future will be illnesses aggravated by, if not outrightly caused by, global warming and its complex effects. Heidi is also a volunteer faculty in the university's Arts and Medicine program. She's a committee chair in the Doctor of Nursing program and is a member of the leadership team for the Accelerating Resilience in Drylands Institute, where she helps integrate public health principles into the interdisciplinary work of a center dedicated to increasing the ability to anticipate, prepare for, and respond to the risks of climate warming in arid environments. Heidi Honegger-Rogers, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. It's so nice to be here.
Heidi, you've worked in primary care and rural health for 25 years, but you started out, you spent the majority of your career in addiction care. What drew you to that field and what kept you there for so long?
Yeah, you know, I had an opportunity to start as a nurse practitioner in 1998, working at our local federally qualified community health center that was serving people who were experiencing homelessness. And I got really interested in how we provide healthcare services outside of normal systems and ways that folks who can't get transportation, folks who can't keep and make appointments. So I started working on the streets and providing healthcare with people who were, unfortunately living out in really, you know, untenable ways. And so I got really interested in also helping people, you know, address their addiction. I ended up working with people who had addiction, all kinds of addiction, within contexts of primary care for most of my career.
It seems like very hard work. I'm sure there are a lot of successes, but there's a lot of heartache in addiction medicine.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think the thing that's the hardest is working with people who are really trying to, you know, to move away from drug use, and invariably relapse is part of that process. And when you are addicted to heroin or opiates, and you relapse, oftentimes accidental overdose is something that can happen. And I think the biggest heartbreaks for me were losing patients. And with tears in my eyes, I can see the faces of people that I really worked with beautifully for so many years.
A few years ago, something moved you and you shifted focus. What happened?
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been, I grew up in New Mexico, so I'm a first generation New Mexican, and New Mexico is at the tail end of the Rocky Mountains. We have beautiful high desert, we have beautiful mountain ranges, pine trees, pinon, junipers, cottonwoods. As a person, I've always felt really connected to nature. And as our nature has changed from development and land use decisions, wildfires that we've had, shifts in climate, I have personally experienced the sadness of you know, being with places that I've loved and seeing how nature is getting more and more challenged, and how our nature spaces are changing. I got to the point where I was losing a lot of sleep about the environment and climate change. I was also working, losing a lot of sleep. There's a theme here. I was just losing lots of sleep about stress from work and kids and what was going on with the planet. And I thought I might want to try to align all of these things and just lose sleep around one thing. So that's my story.
So you start out in addiction medicine, you move to climate health impacts. So Heidi, are you just like drawn to heartache?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm in a holistic nurse, which is a specialty in nursing. And just the other day I was sharing with a colleague at work that I was really stressed about our upcoming election. And my colleague said, "You're very empathic, aren't you?" And I was like, "Oh, right. That must be why I'm just drawn to stress and worry." I'd like to say that I feel like, you know, it's my responsibility to be taking what I have as a skill set and to be working in partnership with the communities that we work with and the students that we work with to make the world a better place. And so, you know, I am worried about these things, but I also feel like what pulls me along my leadership path, what pulls me or guides me in the work that I'm doing is heartbreaks that I really care about.
You experienced a lot of worry yourself about climate change and impending impacts to our world. Did you notice impacts on your own health?
Yeah, so certainly, I think for me, I have asthma. I have always noticed that my respiratory health was worse in the spring and the early summer, which is when we have our fire season. I notice that my asthma is worse when I'm in the city versus when I'm out in the country a little bit more, out in the mountains. So I've always felt it in my lungs, really. And so, yeah, that. And I've certainly seen health impacts from climate change in my practice.
To understand climate health impacts, you really have to understand a bit about climate change. And so you spent a few years kind of drinking from a fire hose on that subject, learning as much as you could. I'm interested in what struck you about the process of learning a subject that was quite a bit different from your decades of experience and expertise. As you were, you know, learning the physics of climate science and the chemistry of climate science, like what, because this is different than nursing.
Yeah. Matthew, that is a fantastic question. I think that what's hard is trying to understand how ecosystems outside of sort of our professional domain work, right? How do our planetary scale ecosystems work? How do greenhouse gases and the greenhouse effect work? How does climate change impact the earth, all of that? Those are new and wild and also super interesting areas of science. And it's impossible to become an expert in that. And so that's one of the things that I've been really thinking about and working with other professionals at the university, thinking about how do we all know bits of the bigger picture, right? I know the nursing bit, I know the health bit. How do I work and listen to scientists in other fields, community members in other fields, farmers? How do we communicate together when each of us holds one piece of information to a bigger picture? But it's also funny to be teaching that because I can't teach from a place of expertise. I can only facilitate a learning environment where I am also learning along with the students. And so
That turns out to be better sometimes, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it turns out that it's actually a way better way to facilitate curiosity, to have students be able to investigate things they're interested in, to practice how do we listen to each other and how do we learn from each other. And it's also nice because it deconstructs, you know, what is a traditional hierarchy in certainly in higher education, where the faculty person is the holder of all the knowledge and the students are the vessels, right? We're all curious, we're all learning together, we're all thinking about these problem sets, these heartbreaks together.
So let's talk about some of these climate health connections. We referenced one obvious one, but often underestimated at the top of this program, just the relatively direct consequences of heat on the human body can take a toll. What does that look like? Like when you're a nurse or when you're preparing future nurses, what are you telling them about what they can expect as our world warms up in regards to that, those direct heat consequences?
One of the things that we need to be thinking about from nursing is, and you know, it's not just specifically, here's heat, here's how it impacts your body. Here are the pharmaceuticals that make that worse, right? Because we always need to be thinking about, you know, what medicines are people taking. Here are ways that people can cool their bodies. But we also, as nurses, need to be thinking about how are we getting that education out to our communities? How are we helping our communities be prepared? How are we partnering with pharmacists to alert patients to, hey, you're taking a medicine and on a heat day, and this is what a heat day looks like in your community, you will need to be extra careful and do these extra things because you are at increased risk because you're taking this medication or you have this disease process. So we need to be anticipating that.
The communications piece seems like it would be really important on the mental health side of things as well. We know that there are more mental health emergencies and violence during high heat days. That's probably a piece that also people need to be thinking about when they're thinking about speaking to the patients that they treat psychologically.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And certainly letting people know that this is a thing and making those connections with our patients is extremely important. And the other things that we need to be thinking about in nursing and as health professionals and really all of us is, what are the policies and practices? What are the sensibilities that we have in our social structures, in our healthcare structures, in our education structures that help mitigate some of those adverse impacts, right? Like, how do we reduce violence on extreme heat days? What are the things that we can do as a city, as a community, as institutions to help people recognize, help us all recognize that this is a consequence of heat and how to figure that out. I think we focus a lot on what we need to do to try to reduce the amount of climate change that's going to happen going forward. And unfortunately, we are stuck with climate change at this point. We're going to have a little bit or we're going to have a lot. We have to really radically shift how we're doing everything as humans on the planet if we're just going to have a little bit of climate change.
And let's talk about that little bit because we could probably, I mean, like maybe people think, okay, well, as of right now, we have only a little bit, which I think is a debatable point, but let's take that as an assumption. And you think, okay, well, you know, there's going to be more heat stroke, maybe there'll be more mental health emergencies. A little bit of climate change does things like this. A heat wave in Paris in 2023, which has been connected to 15,000 excess deaths. Now, I learned that from a presentation that you did. I immediately went to fact check it because I was like, that can't be right. It is correct. I mean, it's like there's been copious research on this. 15,000 excess deaths in Paris during one heat wave. This is like even a little bit of climate change, if we, you know, assume that that's what we're dealing with right now, has huge, vast potentials because we're having more heat waves.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you're right. And a little bit is actually devastating to communities around the world. We're having flooding, we're having increased, you know, severity of storms. We're having more wildfires. So in addition to heat impacting communities that have never been impacted by heat before, and the shifts in how everything is happening with the land, how we are predicting our own safety. Yeah, so when we talk about a little bit from the grand scheme of things, it's already devastating, it's already unjust, it's already adversely impacting different communities around the world. It's certainly adversely impacting people who don't have access to things like air conditioning.
You know, if heat alone was what we were facing, as we contend with the future under climate warming, that alone would be enough. That alone would be enough threat. But that's not at all where the story ends. The story that you are thinking about, the story that you're teaching your students as future medical practitioners. Let's also talk about sea level rises, because there are some acute health dangers there that I think that a lot of people probably don't even think about. They think, oh, well, you know, the sea level is going to rise and maybe we'll build some walls, or, you know, some cities will have to recess a little bit. But there's this whole other thing that happens when the sea level rises to something that is very important to the infrastructure of a city and to the health of a city. And that's the sewers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when we think about how we have health infrastructure for managing waste collection and how we get our water, right? When we have excess flooding, which, you know, there's sea level rise, there's excess rain that happens from extreme weather events that we're having more of. So there's also flooding in inland rivers that can, you know, more likely to happen. All of that water, all the deluge, in the end impacts the sewer and water systems, which are always connected because it's where the piping goes. And you end up getting sewers that flood, and the waste in the sewers flood into the drinking water supply. And all of a sudden, you have an increased risk of infectious disease, all sorts of things that are happening because the sewer systems are overwhelmed, and then you're contending with no access to drinking water or an impaired ability to get, you know, drinking water, which we can't live without, right?
You know, a lot of times we talk about global warming as being a product of greenhouse gases, which of course it is. But I've noticed something. You often use a simpler term. You say air pollution, which it also is. CO2 is a pollutant, methane is a pollutant, and these pollutants themselves can be harmful to human health. And then their effect on the atmosphere can, of course, exacerbate other pollutants that can cause those pollutants to become trapped. And so air pollution is another major public health concern in a warming world. So we have like physiological impacts of heat now, we have flooding sewers, and then greater air pollution, which, tying back to your history with asthma, has got to be really, really disconcerting and scary, because you know what happens on high pollutant days. And then there's this whole other aspect of this that is mental health. We're already seeing a lot of climate anxiety. You talked about facing climate anxiety yourself. There's also a lot of emerging research and appreciation for solastalgia, which is the sadness and sometimes an it really intense and depressive sadness that we feel when the nature around us is lost. There's a lot to take in for somebody who wants to start a career in the medical field and is looking at a career that's going to last them decades upon decades, like things that they are going to see and face.
One of the things that I feel feel is important as an educator and for the next generation of health professionals that are moving with this is that it's actually important to acknowledge, right? We are experiencing grief. It's okay to talk about these things. It's okay to be sad and angry. It's okay to have that. We want to have grief in general. And, you know, I say this as a holistic nurse. We want to have grief in community. We want to be able to talk about this with our friends and our family. To share our experiences with grief helps us realize that we are not alone. And that is an important thing that I think nurses and health professionals can really do is listen and also talk about the grief around these things.
You teach a class called Climate Change and Public Health Preparedness. And one of the things that I think is important about the way you teach is that you ask your students to take a problem from their own community. You've referred to these as grabbable problems. Why is it important to have a grabbable problem?
That is a great question. Grabbable problems are really important, I think, for students to be able to understand how they can actually do something. And so when we think about a problem set from a community that we're familiar with, it gives them an opportunity to understand how they, as health professionals, can really actually move into this work in their day job, right? Like, this isn't a field on the side. This is a way of thinking in nursing, in medicine, in pharmacy, in all of the health professions. When you can move into a helping mode, it actually helps to alleviate some of the adverse impacts that a disaster has, right? And climate change is a slowly unfolding disaster. So if we think about it from that framework, when folks can really identify how they are going to have a positive impact, whatever that looks like for them, that helps to lighten it up. It doesn't mean that it's going to go away. It just means that it's softer and maybe a little easier to move with.
Okay, but still, this is really hard, right? I mean, are there ever days that you wish you were still focused on addiction medicine?
Yeah, addiction does seem like way more tackleable at this point. All of those years that I worked with people who were experiencing addiction and worked with communities to try to figure out ways to prevent addiction are coming in handy for how I am addressing and how I'm working with, you know, with these communities to think about not only how do we treat it, how do we reduce health harms from what's currently going on, but how do we co-create new systems that pay attention to what we need to be doing as humans together on the planet to reduce our impact as humans on the environment, which, you know, is coming back to hurt us and our health as well.
You started this part of your journey because you were feeling anxious about climate change and its effects. You wanted to help your students understand what they're getting into. You have. So where does that leave you now? Do you feel less worried? Do you feel differently worried?
Yeah. I feel energized and connected. I feel like the people that are coming together to do this work, it's a community of people that are really creative and thoughtful. And so because I have found a community that is as worried about these things as I am, I think I feel a little better. I am as worried, if not more worried, the more I know and understand about how all of our ecosystems are impacting our health, including our planetary scale. Yeah, at the same time, I feel like I'm doing something that I love. I'm doing something that I'm good at. I feel like the work that I'm doing is work that the world needs.
That's Heidi Honegger-Rogers. She's a family nurse practitioner, an advanced practice holistic nurse, and an assistant professor in the College of Nursing at the University of New Mexico, where she leads a climate change and public health preparedness course. Heidi, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
Undisciplined is a production of Utah Public Radio, and if you happen to live in Utah, you can listen to us on UPR every Thursday morning at 10:30. If you miss us then, you can listen to every episode of Undisciplined wherever you get your podcasts. Our program is supported by the College of Humanities and Social Sciences at Utah State University and from listeners like you. Yes, you, can support our work at donate.nprstations.org/UPR. Our producer is Reagan Edelman. Our theme music is Little Idea by Benjamin Tissot. And I'm Matthew LaPlante. Thank you for listening. Now go have big ideas.